Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is pianist-composer Michel Camilo. Whether he performs classics or jazz, he captures the essence of his Latin heritage with his brilliant technique. Michel, how are you?
Great, Marion. Great to be here.
It's nice to see you after all this long time.
Oh, yes, wonderful to be here with you.
And congratulations on all the things you're doing.
Thanks.
And your wonderful new album, the Gershwin Concerto.
Oh, yes, and you know, that's a dream come true. Finally, I dared to record Rhapsody in Blue and Concerto in F, and, you know, it's an incredible feeling to be surrounded by 95 musicians on stage.
Oh, I'm sure. It didn't make you nervous or anything, did it?
Well, there's always a little bit of nerves, but it's always healthy.
Yeah, I think it is healthy. I think if you say, I'm never nervous, I think that's wrong. I think you always have to have a little edge or something.
Yeah, a little adrenaline never hurts, especially for Gershwin in that music.
Absolutely. So, I just don't know where to start with you. You're playing classics and jazz, right?
These days, it's like I have two careers at the same time. It's really amazing. Because I'm playing Ravel as well, the piano concerto.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all over the world. And you know, I just go with the flow. And it's always nice to break barriers between both worlds and bring them together.
And that's what you're doing.
That's hopefully what I'm doing, yes.
Well, when you're practicing, do you practice the classics separately and then you come into the things you're doing on jazz?
No, that's actually a great question. No, actually, you know what happens? I'm like a madman. I go from one world to another in a second.
Like, you know, a madman.
Yeah, completely crazy. I can be a little Chopin and then go to Ellington, or, you know, that kind of thing. But it's fun. Music is music, you know?
It sure is. Well, I would love to hear some music. How about a solo from you? That would be really nice.
All righty. This is a song that I wrote for my wife, Sandra, and I call it The Magic in You.
Great title.
Thanks. Thank you.
That's a beautiful tune. The tune itself is magic.
Thanks, Maria.
Wonderful chord changes.
I'm glad you like them. I say them for you.
Sandra, she must be very pleased with that.
I think so. I would say so.
When did you write that, recently?
Yes, I wrote it when I was putting together the repertoire for my Live at the Blue Note album. And it was really nice to come up with that idea and record it in front of an audience for the first time.
Oh, sure. I don't know. Do you like playing live better than in the studio?
Well, there's something special about feeling the audience, how they react to your music. And
I think so. I think it's sort of a vibes that you get.
Right.
Or I do.
Oh, yeah. You know, you get the audience. Sometimes you hear them breathing. Sometimes you hear them.
That's true. You know. I was just thinking. I read where you wrote your first song when you were 5 years old.
That's right.
Do you still ever remember that song?
I wish I did. My mother is, she got the sheet music for it, and she said she's going to send it to me. But I know it was a ballad. It was like a bolero, which in the Caribbean is a ballad.
Did you start taking lessons then?
Not until I was 9. From 5 to 9, I was playing by ear, which was actually very nice for my eventual development as a jazz musician.
I don't know. I guess I've always played by ear. I'm not much of a reader, but I started about the same time you did. But then I guess you really got into it after that.
Yes. You know, in my family, there were both types of musicians, classical and popular. So I got it from both sides. And just looking at my aunt and my uncle, my aunt was classical and my uncle was popular.
Oh, that is so interesting.
Yeah.
So you've got something for everything, for all sides of music, right in the family.
Yeah, and that's part of the whole thing. You know, that's why I always saw it as music, as opposed to one type or another. Because everybody would just take turns at the piano.
It's very rare, really, that you get, I think, most of the jazz pianists either gave up classical music or they didn't stick with it the way you have. I mean, you've got like two separate careers. you can almost put on a disguise and come out and play some classical music and then come back and change your clothes and be a jazz pianist.
Well, you know, lately, it's really wonderful. Lately, what I do, a lot of times, you know, when symphony orchestras invite me, I play in the front half of the concert, jazz, and in the second half with the symphony, classical, in the same evening.
That's wonderful.
It's a lot of fun, you know.
I'll say it is. What about another solo?
Okay. This one is more Latin flavored. This one is something that I wrote for my solo piano album. And it was something a little bit more full of reminiscences of my life, and my endeavors, my sacrifices to come here to New York and to follow my dream and follow the jazz world. You know, so I call it Reflections, this one.
Okay. Thank you. that piece, you can really tell what kind of a life you led with all those beautiful minor changes and melodic ideas. It's very...
Thanks. Did you notice the double bridge? There's a double bridge in that song. Just because there's a lot of reflections. A lot to reflect on.
There certainly are. And then it got very quiet and sort of meditative towards the end.
There's an element of the blues as well in there. Because, not everything is rose color in life, you know, especially when you're touring, as you know.
No, and you know, I haven't even asked you about your background. Where were you born?
In Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, in the Caribbean.
And then when did you come to New York?
1979. I had come in 75 just to check out the scene and the club.
Check the scene, yeah.
Yeah. Just to make sure I liked it, you know. And then had some friends and they took me around all the jazz clubs. I fell in love with it. So then in 79, I made a big plunge. And ever since then, I'm right here in New York.
Well, I mean, you've just been a tremendous success ever since.
Thanks.
You've done such wonderful things in all areas.
Thanks. You know, the main thing at the beginning was just to keep on studying. And my first 5 years, I would say, I was mainly going to different schools and different teachers. Went to Juilliard.
You went to Juilliard, yeah.
Went to Manes as well. I studied privately with Don Sebesky as well. You know, orchestration, arranging.
Well, I imagine Juilliard must have been quite an experience for you.
Oh, yes. And, you know, it's always wonderful to be able to measure yourself within the scheme of things, you know, where you land in the piano land, I guess.
Yes. I'm sure you must have gone through the Allen book at Juilliard.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I did too, a long time ago. Well, there's much more music coming up with my guest, Michele Camilo. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR, on the web at pianojazz.npr.org. Well, how about us doing a duet?
Let's do Stella by Starlight. It's always nice to discover those changes.
And that's a tune you can do so many different things with.
That's for sure.
So let's see what we're going to do.
Let's see.
That was great.
Yeah, that was fun. It's always so nice to discover nuances and textures, you know? I love that.
Oh, that was really fun.
Thanks. It's wonderful, you know, and I like that we found our groove in there as well.
We did find our groove. You know what's so interesting is being able to just play without any directions or music or do it this tempo or use this chord.
Yes, you know, I've been having to talk to my students because I've been teaching also a lot the last 7 years at Berklee College of Music in Boston.
Oh, really? That's
yes,
great.
As a visiting professor. And I always tell them, you know, the great thing about being a jazz musician is that risk element of instant composition.
That is true. And you've got to, you can't really be cowardly about, well, while you're thinking, should I play this chord or should I play this note? The tune has gone by.
That's it. And music moves in time, and I try to make them aware of the responsibility as players and having just the ability to play what you're hearing and you're feeling inside yourself.
Absolutely. Well, there's more to come with Michel Camilo. For more information about piano jazz and a list of the tunes played on today's program, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Well, you know, I would just love to do another duet. The first one was so
sure
easy to do.
Oh, yes.
And I can sort of listen to what you do and tag along.
Let's go for it.
What are we going to do this time? What do you think is good?
I think we should do some Gershwin. You know, I'm lately living my Gershwin in time, my Gershwin era. Because, you know, I recorded Rhapsody in Blue.
I know you did. You must have loved Gershwin.
I love Gershwin. You know, he was really a link between jazz and classical. So he established that bridge between both worlds.
Oh, he did. I mean, if he was around today, he would be a world-class jazz player.
Oh, yes.
Swinging like mad.
And he left us all those standards. So
with great tunes.
At the same time, he delved into the symphonic world, which was needed. And that's why I think Gershwin is so important in our lives these days.
Well, and definitely in your life, because you're able to do your two things, do your classical side, and then come out and play some jazz.
And bring out the, you know, the...
Oh, yeah, right.
See, yeah. It's always nice. So anyway, let's do Our Love Here is Here to Stay.
Okay. Thank you. you picked the perfect tempo.
Oh, thanks. I love to swing, you know? And it's always nice when things come out that you haven't played before.
I don't know. People listening may wonder that you can just play together when you never played before, but I think that's the magic of the music.
Absolutely.
It's just...
There's something to be said about it, you know, that brings the best out in you.
Yeah, and of course, it helps if you know the tune.
Of course. Always. But, you know, it's always nice, a little dangerous, you know, attitude is always nice also.
Oh, sure.
Take some chances.
Sure, absolutely. I see where you're going to play a solo and...
Oh, yes.
And you picked a tune I really love by Chick Corea, Spain.
Yes, you know.
Oh, that's going to be wonderful.
Yes, talking about risk, this is one of the riskiest songs to play solo piano.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about risks.
Thanks. This is a song that I love always also because it merges the sensibilities, the flamenco side.
Yes.
With the jazz feel.
Yeah.
And kind of a jazz samba at the end, you know, but I love the challenge of playing this song.
And he's got such a, there's a little humor in it too.
As well.
Like
the...
In the wrong key, but...
All of that. It's like a dance kind of party.
It is like a dance, like a swaggering sort of...
Yes. And, you know, he also put the Concerto de Aranjuez introduction on it. I'll play a little bit of it, and then I'll go into the song.
Okay.
Because, you know, that sets up the whole mood of the song.
Okay, so, I'm listening. Thank you. Wow, that is...
It's a tour de force, right?
Well, that's what I was going to say, a tour de force it is. I mean, I think the tune itself is wonderful, but boy, talk about risks.
For sure.
That's for sure.
But it's what makes it fun, what we do, right?
Yes.
And it's fun. You know, I discovered this song when I was in Santo Domingo, still in the Caribbean. And up until then, we were looking at this Dizzy Gillespie's, you know, mix of jazz and Latin.
Night in Tunisia and things like that.
Right. And all of a sudden, Chick comes out with the Return to Forever and all these Brazilian flavors. And we went crazy in the Caribbean when we heard those sounds.
I could imagine.
You know, all of a sudden it was like a ray of light, you know, had come in with new ideas and new rhythms and new chords.
And all things that you could appreciate.
Exactly.
Because so much of it was Latin-sounding music.
Exactly,
you know?
And the rhythm. And Ayrton Moreira was on drums, and Flora Purim, and all those guys. And you know, and it really opened up a whole new possibility.
I can imagine. Well, I don't know if this is anything of the same kind of thing, but didn't you write a whole bunch of films?
Oh, yes.
Spain?
I did. I've done a lot of soundtracks in Europe as well. Some of them are award winners, by the way. And it's always nice to challenge yourself. The reason why I like soundtracks is because they force you to think about what is it that you're playing and the power of music as one of the actors.
Really like to challenge yourself, don't you?
All the way.
Do you practice every day?
Oh, yes. I put a lot of hours. Well, you know, it's not work. For me, it's a joy to sit at the piano and discover different things. You know, I play games sometimes with myself. Like I wrote a song. You know, one day I just sat down at the piano and closed my eyes and all of a sudden go... And then found textures, you know, that way.
You just put a melody on top of that.
Oh, yes, I have a melody on top of that.
You have? What's that called? Oh,
yeah. It's called Twilight Glow. And it goes like this. And so on.
It's beautiful.
Thanks. It's you know, and that's the idea. The idea is to always, every day you discover something about yourself when you sit at your instrument. And for example, you know, the Spain has been wonderful to play in these large concert halls where no sound system is allowed, and you just play totally acoustic.
Well, that is nice, and also very difficult, I would imagine. Like you don't have any mics or anything to cover up.
Nothing.
You're out there bare to do your thing.
That's a way of putting it.
Yeah, boy. Well, I'm having a wonderful time with my guest, Michelle Camilo, and we'll have much more music in just a minute. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Visit us on the web and subscribe to our podcast at pianojazz.npr.org. What do you say we should do a tune like Quiet Nights, Corcovado?
Oh, that sounds great. That would be wonderful. I actually met Jobim in person once.
Did you? I would love to have met him. What a wonderful man.
Wonderful man.
Where did you meet him?
I met him at Tania Maria's place here in New York.
Oh, no kidding.
She used to do these musical soirees and get together. Everybody would take turns at the piano. There was one evening Deodato, and there was Jobim, and they matched the same evening. And Paquito de Rivera was there too.
Lovely man.
We were all taking turns at the piano.
Oh, what fun.
It was a lot of fun, for sure. And he, of course, when he's sad, you get goosebumps listening to his melodies.
He had such wonderful melodies, wonderful,
yep.
Wonderful ideas. Gee, I really miss him. I'm just, but he's left us enough tunes. Oof, to,
for sure.
So let's
do something with this. Thank you.
That's one of my favorite Shobeam tunes, actually.
Yes, it's one of those that has that, you know, just from the beginning, just that little chord already inverted.
I know. That's why he called it Quiet Nights, I guess.
Yes, and you're dealing with the ninth of the chord.
Yeah.
So he was a genius in that sense.
He certainly was.
Well, why don't you play something for us and with that beautiful touch of yours?
Well, here's a tune by Cole Porter. Maybe you'd like this one. It's called Sand in My Shoes.
I don't know that one, but I would love to hear
it. It's one that you would sound good playing it, so I'll play it for you.
Great. So nice. I love your modulations.
Yeah, I just thought, why not? You're talking about taking risks. I thought, well, I'll take a risk if it doesn't work out.
And I heard that. No, I heard the modulations. Wow. That's a new point of view right there. You know, that's I always say that. When you're going to play a standard like that, it's always nice when you redefine it and find new solutions, new ways.
Find new solutions. Yeah, that's good. You've said a lot of interesting things today. I'm having such a good time with you today. I'm forgetting we have to finish the show.
That's true.
Isn't that awful?
Oh, it's awful. But what can we do?
I think we should wind up the show with maybe a monk tune. What do you think?
That sounds good. The blues are always good. Are always
right.
Welcome. Let's do some of that.
Okay.
Okay.
I got the last word for change.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland and our guest today, Michelle Camillo. Join us each week at this time when Piano Jazz brings you other outstanding artists for an hour of conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Recording engineer, Duke Marcos. Assistant recording engineer, Ty Kim. Mastering engineer, David Mitchell. Executive producer, Elaine Freeman. If you wish to contact us, our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To find out more about the artists and music on Piano Jazz, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. There you can also listen to a recent Piano Jazz program and link to our free weekly preview podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and Fazioli Pianos. Additional support comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives. At GatesFoundation.org, and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at MacFound.org. This is NPR.